BBC Sounds. Music, radio, podcasts.
Good evening. The right to exercise your vote. And the right to exercise. After the UK's arrangements to enable blind people to vote were declared illegal, why we could have something to learn from Estonia. And how one gym in Sussex has put out the welcome mat.
Have a sit down.
Thank you. I am sitting down. I'm knackered. Just get my breath back.
More from Uckfield later in the programme. But first, there's another opportunity to go to the polls this week with the European elections. But according to the High Court here in the UK, for visually impaired people, the method of voting will fail the tests of accessibility or secrecy. The idea of a piece of plastic with X-sized holes in which you can only indicate your candidate of choice with sighted help doesn't cut it. In a moment, we'll be finding out how other Europeans will be casting their votes this week. But you've been telling us about some of your own voting experiences. For Christopher Kennedy, for example, secrecy was the concern. He declined the polling official's offer to stay with him and complete the form for him, even though he was finding using the template difficult. He goes on, "Once I'd marked three candidates, I continued to study the sheet just to check that I'd got it right. The polling officer quickly tapped me on the shoulder and said, 'I see that you've selected three candidates and I wanted to make sure you know you can't mark any more or you'll spoil your ballot.' Clearly," says Christopher, "my vote was far from private." Not everyone dismisses the templates out of hand. Brian Gaff from Chessington says he's had little trouble with the template, although he recalls one occasion when the ballot form was so long it was actually rolled up like a toilet roll and trailed on the floor, becoming a safety hazard. But frustration with the system has led Ruth Gibbons from Walsall to give up voting altogether. She told us why.
If I could find out where the nearest polling station was, because I'd have to ring the council to do that. The cards always come just in standard print, so they're not readable for me. But even if I could get there, I wouldn't know exactly where the school or hall was.
What would it take to get you voting again?
Probably it would take vote by phone, which they can do all over Europe for the Eurovision, so I can't imagine why on earth they can't do a vote by phone in Britain.
Well, perhaps Ruth should consider moving to the other side of the world. Australians went to vote at the weekend, delivering the kind of poll-contradicting result we're becoming used to. But we were more interested in how Fiona Woods cast her vote. She told me from Sydney, New South Wales.
This time being a federal election, the accessible voting method that was offered was telephone voting, and it was assisted by a person. For the most recent New South Wales state election, we had another system which offered internet voting, or you could vote using your phone, using your keypad, but that was completely automated, so you didn't need to interact with a person, or you could choose to interact with a person as well. First, I should probably explain that in Australia, voting is compulsory. So I suppose it's very desirable that there be a system that is accessible to everyone, because you're going to pay a penalty if you don't vote. Secondly, we have a preferential voting system so that you don't just vote for one candidate. You have to vote for, in my electorate, there were five candidates, but in some electorates, there would be up to 10 or more. And you have to vote for, if not all, then definitely six of those people in order. And then thirdly, we have two houses of parliament and both of them are elected. So we have to vote for the House of Representatives and for the Senate. And in New South Wales, there were 136 people you could choose from.
And can you just explain what you do that, to cast your vote?
You have to make a declaration that you're a blind or vision impaired person who can't vote using a ballot paper without assistance. And you tell them your electorate. You can get voting information in accessible format. So I got a list of my candidates and a list of the Senate candidates. I got them in Braille, but I could have got them in large print or online, and I think audio as well. I was asked, would I like to receive my registration code as an SMS or an email, and you also have to come up with a PIN code. And at no point do I give my name. So those two pieces of information are enough to tell that person my electorate. She goes and gets the correct, or he goes and gets the correct ballot paper, and then they get a second person, has to come and watch them fill in my ballot paper. Then I tell them exactly what I want to do on the ballot paper, and I have done this in the past. I have chosen to vote below the line in the Senate, which is where you individually number the number of senators, and you can imagine that probably took, last time I did it, about 40 minutes. And the person will read back to you exactly what you've chosen at the end of the process.
But it is quite a major exercise. It obviously takes time. It's not like popping into the poll and doing your vote with a scrawl, but with somebody helping you.
In the past, I would have had to go with either someone I trusted or I could have asked an electoral official. And we sort of stand in these cardboard booths. And so you have to whisper to that person, you know, John Smith, number one. Fred Jones, number two, you know, like, and it's quite difficult to go through that process a number of times and to feel any sense of secrecy or privacy or anything else. So even though this can be time consuming, I still think it's better. And it probably only took, I mean, it took longer for me probably to explain it to you than to actually do it.
Fiona Woods. So how will other Europeans be casting their votes later this week? And what do we have to learn from them? The European Blind Union describes itself as the voice of the 30 million blind people in Europe. It's calling for a consistent standard which establishes accessibility and privacy, and they've produced a report which highlights who's doing it well and who isn't. It looked broadly at five methods by which visually impaired people can vote: with an assistant, using a tactile device, like the template we've been talking about, voting by mail, voting in advance, and electronic voting. Benedict van den Boom is very much involved in the campaign. He's International Relations Officer with the German Federation of the Blind and Partially Sighted, and he's been telling me from Berlin about some of the report's findings.
My home country, Germany, has been using the stencil or the template since the turn of the century. And there's actually trials going on in the Netherlands, for example, to introduce stencils. And what we found to be quite important, except for design of the stencil or the template that includes both braille and large print, is to have an audio file that gives additional information. In Germany, we sent this to all template users before the election so that they can acquaint themselves with the content. In the Netherlands, in the trials, the audio system was installed in the polling station so that voters were guided through the template and the content of the ballot at the time of voting.
Now, you looked at five ways of voting. No mention of telephone voting in that list of five, although, again, as we've heard in the programme, it's been used just last weekend in Australia.
The way we approached telephone voting was based on the evaluation of previous rounds of voting in Australia, where someone at the other end of the line records the vote and marks it on a paper ballot. First, you do not know whether the person on the other end of the line really takes the vote as indicated, and it's not secret.
But Fiona was the Australian lady we talked to. She did talk about an automated system that they were using, which would get over that problem, wouldn't it?
If a system is automated, this would certainly have the advantage that many people feel more comfortable with the operation of a phone than with the operation of a computer.
Now, I said at the beginning of the programme that we had much to learn from Estonia. What exactly are they doing?
In Estonia, it has been possible for a number of years now to cast the vote electronically through a state-owned internet platform. Citizens log in with their citizen data, have all the information about the ballot in their respective constituency available in accessible online formats, and can then select their preferred option on this digital ballot, click on send, and even can resend a different choice if they change their mind closer to election day. We have asked the Estonian Federation of the Blind about the system, and it has been indicated to us that it is almost fully accessible to visually impaired users, which is optimal because it guarantees a vote in secret, it guarantees an independent vote, and it guarantees that voters have exactly the same amount of information as anyone else. between a quarter and a third of the overall population use electronic voting or internet voting in the case of Estonia, which shows that it's also accepted by everyone else. It's not a niche solution for visually impaired people, but really for the general population.
Benedikt van den Boom. And we can only repeat that the Cabinet Office has told us that they are looking into possible solutions in light of the High Court's decision that the current options are not lawful. Now, if you fancy a workout as well as exercising your democratic rights, gyms can pose access problems as well. For quite a while, Bex Kenton from Uckfield in Sussex avoided going to the gym. The introduction of digital technology has made the machinery and the equipment harder to use for some. Exercise bikes and rowing machines are often programmed by touch screens, which means, yet again, we need sighted assistance. But when a friend told Bex about the CrossFit gym in her local town, she decided to give it a try. She contacted the owner, Krish Stevens, who set about making the gym more accessible for her. Tom Walker has been along to find out about the results and discovered Bex listening to the warm-up instructions on digital tin lids.
Wrist warm-up, 10 kettlebell goblet squats, 5 heavy single-arm kettlebell swings on each arm and 10 empty bar muscle cleans with 10 front squats.
Everybody else gets their warm-up information from a TV screen up high on the wall, which I can't see, so this makes it a lot more accessible.
Bex, you're about to start your warm-up. Where are you going to first?
I'm going to the bike. So Verity's just going to read the calories because I can't read the bike.
You're up to 4 calories, so 20 for this warm-up.
We actually met here, but we actually live only a few doors away from each other.
Yep, so we make sure that we come down to as many sessions as possible and we can sit and chat about it afterwards, about what worked well and what we're really proud about.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. 19.
One more calorie.
And 20, you're done, well done.
Exhausted already?
Yep.
How long have you been coming to the gym for?
I did my intro on the September the 4th, so around 7 months now.
And what were you doing before then?
I had a year out of the gym. I didn't go to the gym at all. But I actually have been going to regular traditional gyms since I was a teenager. But they just don't offer anything. I've been to several ones and they just leave you to your own devices. And when touch screens came in, you're just kind of like, what do you do?
Okay, so you can just about see where that red box is,
yep.
Yeah? So Bex's going to tap it with your foot so you know where it is. Just have a little check so you know how high it is and then jump. Perfect. How did that feel?
That was fun. Should we go up one?
Hi, I'm Chris Stevens and I own CrossFit Uckfield, where Bex trains. CrossFit is a combination of Olympic weightlifting, powerlifting and gymnastics movements with some cardio thrown in an ever-changing combination of movements.
You've worked closely with Bex since she started coming here, some 8 or 9 months ago. What support do you provide her with?
She's partially sighted, so she can see contrast. So there's a lot of black in the gym. So we put yellow and black tape on steps and things like that, and we put white tape around the rings so that she can see them, and we just sort of make her aware when there's obstacles. Pretty much everything that we have programmed on the board, she can do. Some things we have to scale and some things we have to adapt. Some things she needs a bit more support with than other things, but we haven't found anything yet that she can't do.
And then the clip goes on.
So when you first started coming here, what were you like? Describe yourself.
I was overweight. I've lost nearly 3 stone since then. I couldn't jump on a box. I couldn't run 100 metres, let alone 400 metres, which I've done since I've joined here. I couldn't lift a lot of weight. I couldn't do a lot of things, basically, physically, because I'd just been so used to going on a bike for 20 minutes or walking on a treadmill at a high speed for 20 minutes. You know, just small stuff. So you never really improved.
And since you came here, how have you changed as a person as well as physically?
I don't feel so isolated anymore. I have something that I want to go and do, you know, gets me out of the house. I'm a lot fitter, so I get out a lot more. I'm social a lot more. So it just improves every aspect of your life, really.
So this is a family affair, really, then, isn't it, Bex? Your mum here?
I kind of convinced my mum to start, really. But at the moment, she's just doing Pilates, aren't you?
Yeah, just starting with Pilates.
Yeah.
How well has Bex done since she started coming?
The most amazing thing to me is her balance. She can balance now, and in all her life, she's never been able to balance. So that's really good. And a lot more fluidity in her movement.
Excellent.
Oh, I felt
it's
like
hard.
I was dying.
Yeah.
It was hard, though.
Do you enjoy the fact that you can actually talk to people as you go around?
Yeah, in regular gyms, you have things like people on headphones. There's no headphones. They're actually banned. So people actually talk, and you get to know them. I mean, I wouldn't have known that my neighbour three doors down on my road came to the same gym as I did.
Beautiful, Elizabeth. Well done. 5 minutes done. You've done 60 seconds
left. Do you feel that it is part of your commitment as a person, if you like, to be as diverse as possible and as inclusive as possible?
Absolutely. I sat down with my other coaches a while back and we kind of worked out what is our mission statement, what is it that we want to do, and we want to make this gym accessible to anyone who wants to train here.
The final round has just started. Bex is lifting the weight again, and even I can see that she really is looking a little bit tired now. Have a sit down.
Thank you. I am sitting down. I'm knackered. Just get my breath back.
What do you hope to achieve longer term?
Just to be as fit and healthy as I can be. And hopefully, maybe next year or whenever I'm up to it, to do a couple of competitions just for fun.
Bex Kenton. So it begs the question, why can't they do that everywhere? Let's have your reactions and we'll attempt to put your points to some of the larger gym chains. Now, on last week's In Touch, we heard the moving reflections from listener Catherine McAteer on whether, after 40-odd years, she had accepted her blindness. She got in touch with us as a response to a previous discussion about the varying ways in which people try to come to terms with losing their sight. Well, another Catherine, Catherine Dembeck, also felt compelled to email her thoughts. About 7 months ago, the retina in Catherine's right eye suddenly detached. And although after a couple of operations there's been some improvement, she's also feeling grief for that loss. She's been explaining why that discussion struck a chord with her.
It was the need to adjust to a huge change of no longer having perfect vision, of no longer having a right eye that worked, and just the need to accept that. And in the programme you were asking, well, have you come to terms with that? Have you accepted it? And that question really struck a chord with me because I thought, this is the stage I'm at. Nothing can be done surgically for my right eye anymore. So I've simply got to accept it. I do have sight still in one eye, and so I realise I'm far better off than many people. But nevertheless, it's an adjustment.
And it's still very personal to each individual. What's the impact of your sight loss at the moment on you?
I'm pleased I can do everything, but more slowly. I go downstairs carefully, hold on to the handrail because I look down and I can't see as well as I could. But I'm managing to function, but everything feels a bit different. They talk about life-changing injuries. Well, this has changed my life to an extent, and that's what I'm coming to terms with. But I think it's a process, and I'm only 8 months having had this happen, so it still feels comparatively early days.
Catherine Dembeck. And that's it for today. We are getting some wonderful responses from you at the moment on all kinds of subjects, but we're greedy. We want more. You can contact our phone line on which you can leave your comments. That number is 0161 836 1338 1338. You can also visit our website from where you can download tonight's and other editions of In Touch. From me, Peter White, producer Lee Kumutat and the team, goodbye.